the Lord. And she told them that he had said these things to her. This is the good news of Jesus Christ. Please be seated.
I invite you to think with me today in this place in a garden outside a tomb. Jesus said to Mary, "Woman, why are you weeping? For whom are you looking?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you've carried him away, tell me where you've laid him and I'll take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Hebrew, "Rabboni." Join me in your hearts in prayer. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Come like a wind and cleanse. Come like a fire and burn. Convict, convert, and consecrate our lives to our great good and your greater glory. We pray in our Savior's name. Amen. Now, to state the obvious, when you come to Easter worship, we are typically anticipating a joyous celebration, a service, where the music soars like it does when we conclude today, for example, with the Hallelujah Chorus or with the wonderful anthem that you heard the choir just sing, and rightly so. The resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead is cause for the best we have to offer in praise of God. Easter doesn't have quite the same pressure for us in our culture as Christmas for it to be happy, happy, happy. Nonetheless, we expect some joy. What we don't expect, and frankly don't want, is to see someone weeping uncontrollably. It's uncomfortable, isn't it, to be in the presence of someone we are unable to console. Weeping is not something we want to hear at any time, and especially, we don't want to hear it, of all days, on Easter. But we do. Easter happens in a garden outside a tomb. John, in his gospel, wants us to be sure that we hear the weeping. He doesn't want us to look away either. As if to underline it in particular, he tells us four times in this brief text that Mary Magdalene is weeping. Almost instinctively, we would ask her the question the angels and Jesus ask her. Why are you weeping? There's something profoundly helpful when one human genuinely listens to another as they pour out their pain. There's something therapeutic in being able to talk about it with someone. And because we know the rest of the story, we know why she's weeping. And we can identify with her sorrow. Death mocks our love for one another. Jesus has died. The one who helped her, who helped Mary Magdalene believe again that God truly loved her, and had suffered a horrific death by crucifixion. The one who was the light of her life was dead and buried. Death has no sympathy for her. It has no sympathy for us. No matter how we rail against it, we're helpless before it. And we know her sense of helplessness. She's in a garden outside a tomb, grieving a great loss. Now, to add insult to injury, the tomb has been desecrated. At least that's what Mary believes. They've taken away my Lord, and I don't know where they've laid him. The pains of death have been multiplied for her by whatever indignity she now imagines has been visited upon our Lord's body. The pain of this indignity, piled on top of the grief of the loss of Jesus in death, could crush, indeed crushes, a person to despair. And so we know why she's weeping. what are we going to say to her about it? In other words, imagine yourself standing there. How would you attempt to console her? What pearl of wisdom do you have to offer? Our world says she needs something called closure. Do you think that's going to help her? It could be that weeping is not far from our own hearts this Easter morning, as happy as we want it to be. The loss of a loved one in death is with us, and weeping is never too far from below the surface. We can identify with Mary. The heartlessness of death crushes the spirit. We rail against it. We want our love to have meant something. We want our loved one to have counted. The singer Enya expresses our longing in her haunting song, "If I could be where you are." She sings, "Is there a way I can find you? Is there a sign I should know? Is there a road I can follow to bring you back home to me?" We know why Mary weeps. She's in a garden outside a tomb. And this is the truth I invite you to take home with you today. Easter is precisely for this moment. Easter happens where death is, because this is the place it is needed, in a garden outside a tomb. Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, is vindication that in the death of Jesus on the cross, death has been defeated. In Jesus Christ, death has been rendered a doorway from life to life. Death and its errand boys are conquered. As the Apostle Paul wrote in his tome on the resurrection of Christ, death has been swallowed up in victory. And because of the great victory of Jesus Christ has won for us, it is right that Easter worship be filled with praise and joy. When Jesus calls Mary by name, as only he enunciates her name, and Mary recognizes that it's Jesus speaking with her, she experiences the first instance of what was promised by God through the prophet Isaiah. God will swallow up death forever. Then the Lord will wipe away the tears from all faces. Mary experiences the wiping away of her tears that anticipates that day seen in John's revelation. And God himself will be with them. He will wipe away every tear from their eye. Death will be no more. Mourning and crying will be no more. Pain will be no more, for the first things have passed away. Note that Jesus' question, "Why are you weeping?" isn't because he thinks Mary has no reason for crying. Jesus himself knows that he and Mary both needed the tears if the truth of what has just happened was going to come to mean exactly what it means. We have the hope of new life smack where we need it most, in the midst of a world full of death and dying. And this is the story we have to share with each other in all of our weeping. Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, standing in a garden outside the tomb with us, calling us by name to believe in him. This is the good news we have to share with everyone about that moment. The second thing I invite you to note is the magnitude of what is occurring in this first Easter day. In many ways, the story is related to us in a rather understated way, but how could it be otherwise? Something as profoundly extraordinary as resurrection could hardly have be taken in all at once. It's over time and with reflection, with the help of the Spirit of God, that we begin to appreciate something of its grand significance. I think it can be said, even among those who do not believe that Jesus rose from the dead, that they've heard of it. That even in our culture, there is some idea of someone rising from the dead. They've heard this Easter story, however tangentially in some way. But we see when Mary is in the garden, there is no such story in her mind. She and no one else in her world was anticipating that Jesus could rise from the dead. It's true that the Jewish people believed that at the end of time, there would be a general resurrection of the dead, as people rose from their graves and as God judged everyone. But no one in her world was anticipating that someone would rise from the dead as a single individual in the middle of history, any more than we would anticipate waking up tomorrow morning and expecting the sky to be green. You see, she looks at this man in the garden whom she assumes is the gardener, and he looks at her, and perhaps with a twinkle in her eye, he simply says, "Mary." And as she speaks, her eyes are open. She realizes it's Jesus. She's overcome with joy and she embraces him. Now, how long do you think it took for that to occur? How long would it have taken Mary to have turned from looking into the tomb to look at Jesus? Maybe a second, maybe two. One respected commentator says that as Mary turned and saw Jesus, it was as if the world was also turning on its axis. As she turned 1 second into her turn, it was as though the world had shifted from B.C. to A.D., from before Christ to Anno Domini, in the year of our Lord. 1 second before, Mary had been this woman agonizing in the depths of sadness, in the face of unconquerable death. A second later, Mary is experiencing the highest possible human joy in the presence of the one who has conquered death. Mary was the first person in history to see Christ risen from the dead, and the joy and the elation she must have felt is unimaginable. I remind you of a truth that is in this story with Mary Magdalene and with all the resurrection appearance stories in the Gospels. The reason though these first followers of Jesus came to believe that this Jesus who was crucified and died is now risen from the dead is because Jesus himself made himself known to them alive. The same is true for believers throughout history and for us today. We come to believe that he is risen because he makes himself known to us by his presence in our lives. He is among us today, inviting us to believe. We may not be able to explain how, but we know it by the knowing of faith. Here's the thing. As people meet the risen Christ today, they experience this profound and unexpected joy that the first believers experienced. C.S. Lewis titled his book about his own conversion to faith in Christ, "Surprised by Joy." There's the joy of knowing ourselves loved by God, the joy of knowing that our life matters to God and therefore is full of meaning, the joy of knowing that nothing can separate us from that love, not even death. Again, it is fitting that Easter worship should elicit our best efforts for praise of God. That Easter day, the world looked entirely different to Mary. Jesus Christ risen from the dead changes everything. The world is no longer under the dominion of death and dying. Rather, it is now the theater of God's redeeming love. Or as the voices from heaven declare in John's vision, the kingdom of this world has become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. You're going to hear that sung at the end of the service, in the Hallelujah chorus. It comes from that song in heaven. I thrill every time I hear it sung. Now, as thrilling as this Easter day is, life is more than thrilling moments. As world-altering as this first Easter day is, with world history isn't over. Mary's first instinct is to take hold of Jesus and never let go. But there's more to come. Jesus said to her, "Do not hold on to me because I have not yet ascended to the Father, but go tell my brothers and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, I have seen the Lord. And she told them that he had said these things to her. Jesus gives Mary a commission. Go to my brothers and say to them. She is to be a witness of this encounter with Jesus. The resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead needs to be announced. Mary's witness wasn't just for disciples who at first didn't or couldn't or wouldn't believe her. They did eventually come to believe her after Jesus presented himself alive to them. We know they came to believe her because her witness is preserved in Scripture. Her witness is for us too. When Jesus tells her to go and tell, he can foresee that we too will hear Mary's witness through it being preserved in Scripture. The question is, will we believe her? I, for one, am grateful for the witness of Mary Magdalene. Her witness has been a blessing to me and my faith. And now, like Mary, we have a story to tell. Easter gives us a commission. The risen Jesus calls us to go and tell of our encounter with him. You know, I hear many people recommend to one another a movie or a book. Encounter with the risen Jesus is a better recommendation than any movie and any book. Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, I have seen the Lord. Amen. As we respond to what God has said to us in and through this word today, we share now in our offering, and let's share in our giving.